Good morning. I just told Kayla and Ronnie that there are more cars in the parking lot than there are people. I'm trying to figure this one out. But it is good that we have gathered this morning. And a good way to start this morning is, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do as you do each week, and that is fill out the attendance sheet. Take notice of any different name on there. Look for any different face. And any prayer requests, anything that you have, certainly feel free to put on there. Speaking of prayer requests this morning, even before we get to announcements, Chandra was on vacation, a much-needed vacation, all last week, and yours truly did not put together a prayer list, and so we certainly remembered those from last week. And Cookie, we had prayer for you last week, so it's good to have you in worship with us today. And also, I want to let you know I got a text from Jennifer Gailey this morning, and Joyce is in the hospital at Baylor. She has pneumonia. Jennifer says, please pray. However, at this point, they're exhausted. And so, you know, she said visitors maybe a little bit later, but certainly would appreciate a text or a call if you would like to do that. So we keep Joyce Hames in our prayers. And then from Saturday breakfast, we had someone who offered this. It says, bless our soldiers and our dogs that work in the armed forces and our first responders. So a prayer of thanksgiving and blessing for them also this morning. As far as announcements, you see what we have there. We are having our Christmas Village meeting immediately after worship today, and hope that you will come and help us as we make preparations for this coming year. I believe, unless you have other announcements or if you have prayer requests that we need listed today. Yes.
You know, prayer of thanksgiving for the anniversary, the 59th anniversary of Chandra and Frank Carl. 59 years of marriage is a
59 years. And Frank and Chandra, when I text them a happy anniversary, said that they would love us, they would miss us, but they were going to spend their anniversary in Hot Springs, and so you all have fun. So that's good. Yes. Christina.
Okay.
Life is not easy, and it's certainly not easy in those preteen years and into those teen years either. So, okay. If there are no others, then just this reminder once again that even when we enter as strangers, whether it be this congregation, any place, when we act with the hospitality of Jesus, we leave not as strangers, but we leave as friends. Let us worship God.
Please join me in the opening sentences. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Even when we turn away to go back to our old ways, our old lives, our old sins, God is merciful in granting forgiveness and fulfilling us with new life. So let us confess to the one who comes to fill us with grace, saying,
even in the face of betrayal and rebellion, even in the face of death and denial, even in the face of fear and despair, God's grace knows no bounds. We are forgiven, we are called back into relationship, and we are set back on the path that leads us home to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Would you join your hearts with me as we pray for the presence of the Spirit in our hearing of the word? Dear Lord, please help us to center our hearts and our minds on you. Help us to be reminded of who you are and what that means to and for us. Be with us this day and help us to write your words on our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The epistle reading today comes from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
This morning we hear a text that we would normally hear during the season of Lent, but our Lord surprises us at all times, in all places, in all ways, and I pray that you will keep your ears open for the surprising way that we will hear this morning. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." And they asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for us?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and then say to the owner, 'The teacher asks us, where is the guest room and where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And then he will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." And so they went and they found everything as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with them. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to him, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the covenant in my blood." But see, the one who betrays me is with you, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to the one who betrays him. Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be and who would do this. And so a dispute arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The king of the Gentiles lord it over you, and those in authority over those who are called benefactors. But it's not so with me. Rather, the greatest among you become the youngest and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and you may drink at my table in my kingdom." The word of our Lord lasts forever, and we say, Almost two centuries before this night, Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they had been literally saved by the preparation of the slain Passover lamb. Its blood spread across the doorpost of every Israelite home. And marked by that blood, we remember that the angel of death passed over the house, and the firstborn of every household was spared. And now, here's Jesus preparing to eat the Passover meal on a night, remembering this story of how God saved them from Egyptian slavery and gave them freedom. And on this night, Jesus will institute the Lord's Supper. And for the first time in Luke's version of the story, we get a glimpse of that particular night and that meal in greater detail, as Jesus emphasized in Luke's gospel more the meaning and the significance of his death for the disciples. It will be a night, we heard, as Jesus will be betrayed by one of his disciples. Jesus alone, knowing who that disciple would be. It's the night that Jesus will prepare his disciples for his suffering, his death, and the real likelihood that after he is dead, they too are going to suffer and perhaps even be killed. On this night, Jesus will do all of this, and then tomorrow he will die. But like the gracious host, Jesus has spent his life preparing for this time, not just preparing himself, but preparing for the disciples and preparing for you and for me. In its most extreme sense, Jesus' preparation for his death, in that he extends hospitality as he has never done before, in order that you and I can prepare by faith for that life that is before us each and every day, and that life that we know is beyond us. So, just a few tidbits about preparation, and particularly about the Passover, that will give us some insight into the holy purpose of preparation. First of all, on the way to Jerusalem for this festival, the roads were always repaired. The bridges were always made safe. And get this, the wayside tombs along the way that they will travel, they got freshly whitewashed. So just in case you happen to come in contact with one of those headstones, you would not be rendered unclean by the time you got to the festival. In preparation, a month before the Passover, the story and its meaning was taught in the synagogue. And then 2 days before the festival, there was this ceremonial candlelight search by the owner of the house to whisk away any sign of leftover leaven in the house. From the altar at the temple, there was a trench that was dug in order for the blood of the lambs that were slain to wash their way out. The disciples would be securing the lodging and basically filling that grocery list that they needed. They would get the ham, they would go pick up the herbs, they would make sure there was unleavened bread, and most certainly they would have to go purchase the wine. Preparing for a meal, yes it was. But more importantly, Jesus has them preparing for a life of service. The homeowner, who must have had a little bit of money because he was in a two-story house after all, and that was not that common there, he prepared too. He got the furniture ready. He put the low table there. He had the pillows around it so that when they came and they were tired and they were dusty and they had had their feet washed, they could recline their head toward the table, their feet, thank goodness, away from the table. The dinnerware was already there. It was just a matter of the food. But we also know that there's a lot of drama that leads up to this night. The chief priest and the scribes, who have been searching out ways to, in essence, trap Jesus, have now crossed the line into not putting his teachings to death, but actually putting Jesus himself to death. And we remember that they get some assistance in doing that from what comes to be an unseemingly source, the disciple. John's gospel tells us that Judas, as the treasurer for the disciples, had already been stealing money. And then Luke says it as plainly as it can be said, Satan entered Judas. And literally, for the love of money, Judas, Jesus faithful, approaches the powers that be. They don't come to him. Judas goes to them and says, for some money, I will hand over not only my Lord for you to arrest, but we know eventually to be crucified. Luke is intentionally showing us this connection between Jesus and the Passover, and especially he wants us to show how the meal has been prepared, not so much by the disciples, but for the disciples. It is ultimate hospitality from the Lord, who knows that this is his farewell meal. Jesus takes extra care in preparation. God takes extra care through the hospitality of a man with no name, just a water jug, in a place where this time a room is already ready for him, and preparing the disciples and us for that holy encounter with Jesus, who will sacrifice his life and forgive our sins and give us life forever. And it's the preparing part that I really want to focus on this morning. Preparing as part of hospitality. On Wednesday night at our Bible study, Michelle and Helen helped me with a word study on the word prepare. And not surprisingly, these are the results. Of the 15 times the word prepare is listed in the entirety of the New Testament, only 15 times, five of those are in Luke's gospel, and two of those are in this particular pericope that we just read. Prepare, preparing, being prepared is important to our Lord. Elizabeth prepared for John, who would prepare the way for Jesus. Jesus prepares for his death by preparing a meal for the disciples, and in the end, Jesus prepares for us a place beyond this earthly life. And Jesus is always preparing our hearts every day for serving. It's only in Luke's gospel that Jesus names the disciples, Peter and John, as he sends them to find that man who will have that room prepared for him to observe that meal. And remember, the room is already set up. But it's not just set up for Jesus, which is different in Luke's gospel again. They say, "Where do you want us, Lord, to find this room where we can have this meal?" Here is Luke once again showing us inclusiveness, but not only inclusiveness, but also giving us this indicator that this meal is going to be different. And in focusing on preparation, every time I read this, I can't help but be drawn back to Psalm 23. God prepares a place for us even in the presence of our enemy. That table where Jesus will sit will be in the presence of his enemies. But first, the disciples have to go find this man. And think about this. There are millions of people who are roaming around on the street at this time. And he says he's going to be carrying a water jug. Well, okay. Well, the difference is men usually didn't carry water jugs. They carried these little pouches that kind of look like our modern day canteens. So it is different, but yeah, you know, with my eyesight, I still can't imagine trying to find one man with one jar, but the Lord provides. And the Lord provides long before the filling of this man with a jar. He has prepared for the coming of Jesus with the words of the prophets. He has even prepared for this time through those murderous plots and through the betraying of the friends, because it is only through the sacrifice of Jesus the Lamb that the world can be saved and freed, not from slavery this time, but from the slavery of sin. When God is on a mission to hook up people, God prepares in advance. And so we gather at the table, and even before we hear those words that we so remember, "This is my body given for you, my blood given for you," we hear from Jesus' own heart, "I have eagerly eagerly desired to share this Passover with you before I suffer, because I tell you, I will not eat again with you until it is that time fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus uses a Hebrew idiom here. Basically, what he's saying is, I have desired with everything inside of me. This is a passionate moment for Jesus. It is a painful moment for him. And for Luke, like none of the other Gospels, it is telling us that this is Jesus' last testament. These are his parting words to the disciples until he sees them again at the Messianic banquet. But Luke pairs Jesus' desire not so much with a goodbye speech as the other Gospels does. He does it as one last opportunity to share that central reason why he was even born. He was born to institute a new covenant based not on the sacrifice of animals, but based on the sacrifice of his life. Jesus wants desperately for them to grasp that this is not the end. This is the beginning of a new beginning. And that's what Jesus wants us to know and to remember. Trust in him as the Lord of our lives brings all of us to a new beginning. And it also gives us a reason for hospitality, for searching out even ways to be hospitality so that we can share and we can tell others what this new life in Christ is all about. Jesus knew was coming for him. He knew what was coming for us. And it's no accident that he would not play the victim. Instead, he was this gracious host, showing hospitality through the preparation of food and preparing them all and us for a new covenant, for a new way of remembering that we have been freed from sin and that a new door has been opened for us to have that healed relationship with God. All of us have things that happen to us in life that blindside us. They sort of hit us out of the blue, those we never saw it coming moments. There are good things that happen that way for sure, but there are some not so good things. And sometimes we find ourselves saying, you know, Lord, if I had just known what was ahead, I would have prepared for it. But take this in. We have been prepared, at least for our life of faith. And in our life of faith, if we are prepared, then we are prepared for what life brings our way. From the time of the prophets, Elizabeth, Mary, John, and even before time as we know it, Jesus has been preparing for this night, for his death, for our sakes. And yet, now he sits at table, not wallowing in self-pity, knowing that a friend is going to turn against him, one will deny him, and well, the others, they're going to run in the opposite direction from the cross. But he is sitting here at this table wanting more than ever a heart-to-heart conversation with them. True hospitality. I imagine he felt alone, maybe not loneliness, but that he did feel loneliness, even in his willingness to do his Father's will. And yet he spends these last hours doing what? Modeling heart-deep hospitality so that his followers would know what that looked like. And he does it because when the Holy Spirit opens up their ears and their eyes and their hearts finally, they can say, you know, remember, Jesus told this to us ahead of time. He told us what was going to happen and what that it would mean, and now what it means for us. You remember that night? You remember that meal? Do you remember that conversation? Jesus still knows our hearts. He still knows the ways that we betray and deny and run. And every time that we come to this table for communion, we come at the Lord's invitation. We come to a table already prepared for us. We come because Jesus loves us, earnestly desiring to have a meal with us. From his compassionate heart, Jesus is always preparing our hearts for the crosses that we will bear as his followers, even in our day and our time. Prepare your hearts now, Jesus, the hospitable host says, and let's share a meal. Let's remember and let's have a heart to heart. And eventually, the disciples will remember. But first, they have to go back to their little childish discussion about who will be the greatest, not on earth, but now who's going to be the greatest in heaven, preparing for what lay ahead. I think we just might give permission for Jesus to say, come on, guys, knock it off. Seriously? I'm the one serving you right now. Do you get it? Would you be like me? But you know what? Jesus doesn't throw up his hands and shout. With humility, he continues to prepare for them. And not just prepare for them, but provide. To the very ones who are having a difficult time understanding the difference between aspiring for greatness and aspiring for service, Jesus promises them, I will provide a place for you at my table in my kingdom, because you have learned hospitality and you have learned humility, and now you will get to sit with me at table and see who also has learned that lesson of life or not. Jesus is talking about us. Wondering if we have learned those lessons. What in our lives have we done with humility and hospitality and with heart-to-heart conversations intended to share how the Lord has made a difference in our lives and how the Lord can make a difference in the lives of all who ask? The blessing of serving in our Lord's name and visiting in our Lord's kingdom is absolutely nothing that we deserve. It comes by invitation only. It comes by grace. And thanks be to God, it is an open invitation. It's up to us to accept or to decline. In the last conversation that he has with his disciples, Jesus is providing for them by preparing them. Each and every day, you and I wake, and the Lord gets to look down upon us, three-ring circus disciples that we are sometimes, but with compassion and with hospitality in his heart, he says to us, I have prepared a place for you for all time. So prepare now to share that invitation with others. Why? Well, you remember that night? Remember that meal? Remember that conversation? Amen. If we believe the words of our Lord, then we stand eagerly as we prepare to affirm that faith also.
Please stand and join with me in the affirmation of faith.
We belong to God, eternal and infinite, creator of all.
With our hearts wide open, may we not only have a conversation with God, but may we open up to God's conversation to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are a God of hospitality. There is none like you that invites all to come to you. You have invited all to your home, to your table, to your arms, Lord, all who would come and hear and receive your good news. And so, Lord, help us to remember that no one is better than anyone else in your kingdom. Help us then to treat each other the way that you treat us. And generous God, because you treat us with your tender love, we take time to pray for our family, our friends, and others who need you more than ever. And so, Lord, we bring before you Joyce and Christina. Lord, we remember grandparents who lose grandchildren. We are grateful, Lord, for our soldiers and for all who serve and for all who protect. We are grateful for those who run into the face of danger rather than away from it in order to help us keep our freedom. Lord, we are grateful that Cookie is with us this morning, and we are grateful for the healing of his body. We ask for those, Lord, that we have not named, but we know in our hearts that you will pour out your healing on them, that you will be generous with your transforming love for those who need it in their lives, and that you will bring reconciliation in families and in all places where it's needed. You give us the gifts of the Spirit to use to further your kingdom and to be the body of Christ here on this earth. We take time, Lord, to remember those people whose names that we do not know, but who have been affected by weather, by climate, by violence, by danger, by all of those things, Lord, that seek to try to separate us from you. And we thank you for the restoration that can take place in the love and the power and the grace of your Son. There's none like you, God, and in your love, your generosity, your gifting, and your hospitality, we thank you. Thank you that you are in our lives, that you are working in and through us to let people know that your kingdom is open to all. And so in the name of your Son who opened the doors for all and broke down barriers that kept people away from you, we hear now that wonderful prayer of provision that he has taught us to say. Our Father, you know, the truth is God rains down blessings upon us all the time. Sometimes we recognize them and sometimes we don't. But whether we do or whether we don't, God's blessing is still present with us. And so today, we take just a moment to pause on our journey. And through the ministry of this church, through what the Lord has given us and provided for us to do, we take a moment, we pause, we give thanks through whatever means that we are asked by the Spirit to do. So this morning we gather not only our tithes and our offerings, we gather our thanksgiving, our prayers, and all that we have to offer our praise to God.
Pray with me. God, we recognize that the greatest gift is the gift of love in your Son, our Lord. May our offerings distribute this love to the world, the small world we inhabit with the suffering people we know, and in the larger world where the power of your love is sorely needed. Amen.
Straight from our opening sentences this morning, a word of blessing, a word of remembering from our Lord. Go out into the world in faith. Hold on to that which is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Help the suffering and the weak. Love and serve all persons. But most of all, love and serve the Lord our God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our body. And now may the love of God surround us, the peace of Christ be in us, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be in and among us. Amen.